Dwight, we thank you so much, and we thank all of you for joining together with us this morning, these great, beautiful songs that remind us that Jesus really is alive and that all is well. You know, I'm thankful today that the world is remembering the risen Christ, as we sing about it this morning. He lives, and there is no greater thought than to know that our Savior does live. And we hope and pray that today our minds may go back to Calvary, to the crucifixion of our Savior, and yet also to the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You know, when you stop and you think about the resurrection, there are a number of things that actually come to our mind. You know, people ask me, they say, well, is Jesus the first one to have ever been resurrected? Well, the answer to that is no. Did you know that in the Old Testament, in the case of the widow's son at Zarephath in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, we read of the resurrection of Elijah's grave. We read of the resurrection of the widow at Nain in the book of Luke 17, her son. We read about the resurrection of Lazarus in the book of John chapter 11. We read about the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, but we read about the resurrection of Dorcas or Tabitha or Eutychus. We could go on and on to talk about all of those who were raised from the grave. But people say, well, what makes the resurrection of Christ so important over the other resurrections? Well, all of those who were raised from their grave had to die again. The uniqueness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is that he will die no more. He still lives, as we often say. And I'm thankful that he does. Christ even said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Now consider that a moment. He is the epitome of the resurrection. There is no resurrection that even compares to the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. None. We walk through the cemeteries occasionally. We have done that. I have been to, I suppose, all of the cemeteries in Anderson County, and many of them in the state of Texas, where I've conducted graveside services. But many of those, I walked through those graves, many of them I didn't know, some of them I do know. And I know one thing about these graves. One day they will give forth to a new body. For the Bible says in the book of John 5 and actually 28 and 29, that all that are in their graves will hear his voice, and they will come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we know that we are going to be raised. But we're going to be raised in the likeness of Jesus to die no more. We're going to die, we're going to be raised, and we're going to be with the Lord as the Word of God actually teaches. In John 11, 25, again he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm so thankful that when I go with the family to the graveside, or perhaps to offer condolences to those who are grieved over the death of a loved one, that we can do it in great hope. We know that this coming Saturday morning we will do that for the Cartwright family. Wayne was such a wonderful child of God, and he and Carol Ann have been very faithful members of this church, and it will be my privilege to be able to in some way honor them and him this coming Saturday, and I know that you want to be here to express your love for this family. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is found in all four of the Gospels. That's not the case with a lot of things. Jesus taught about certain things in the book of John. He taught about Lazarus there, but he's not mentioned in the books of Luke or Matthew. He's not mentioned in the book of Mark, but he is mentioned there. So the resurrection is actually overshadowed throughout the Old Testament, and we only look at a few examples. But we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He said, you can destroy this temple, that is, this body, you can destroy it. And he says, in 3 days, I will raise it up. And there never was a doubt about whether he was going to come out of that grave. Now, we know the Jews were all upset about it, especially when they heard that the stone had been rolled away by the power of God, and they were believing someone had stolen the body of Jesus. It was not stolen, but it was resurrected as Jesus had foretold. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm so thankful that there is life beyond the grave and that this isn't the end when we draw our last breath in this world, but that we're going to be with a God who is very much alive, as we sing in that old hymn. But it is true, isn't it, to know that there is life after we give up a loved one in death here in this world. We know, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the coming judgment of our Lord. We are going to die. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die, but all are made alive and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the hope that I have this morning. It really is a hope that I treasure deep within my heart. Paul must have also, for he said by inspiration in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, my hope transcends this world. My hope's not here. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. But my kingdom is with Christ and with him, seeking to do his will. That's why I tell people all the time that the best is yet to come. It is. And isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that we haven't seen anything yet. But while we're surrounded by darkness and suffering, and we share an ocean of tears, and our eyes begin to flood, we believe even stronger that Christ is coming again. Revelation chapter 1. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You know, in this life, we go through a lot of difficulties. We all have issues. We all have problems, but we know that God has a purpose for our pain. He has a reason for our struggle and a reward for our faithfulness. So he says unto us, do not give up. You just keep on doing what we are to do. For your mind is a garden, and your thoughts are the seeds, and you can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. So it's up to you, whatever you want to do with your life. If I were to ask you this morning, where are you going when you die? What would you say? Do you know for sure this morning that you're going to be with God? Is there any question at all in your mind about you dying and being resurrected? You know, when you think about going to be with God, that's a wonderful thing. But what if you're not ready? What if you haven't made preparation for the coming of Christ and for the judgment bar of God? But those who will hear will live, because Jesus is that resurrection and the life. He is the author, according to Hebrews 5 and verse 9, of eternal salvation. Notice this, to all of them that not believe in him, but all of those who obey him. Now, that's what the word says, and it is so true, isn't it? Jesus, here in this passage over in the book of John, the 11th chapter, was trying to reassure Martha after Lazarus had died. And if Martha had been listening keenly, she would have heard that Jesus is not only the essence of life, but he is the giver of life. He is. He was God in the very beginning when the world was created, when he created the sun and the moon where people are orbiting today to look at that beautiful and marvelous thing that God created to rule the night. But Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. He is. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. He has the keys to death and to the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is pictured when John, or rather when God, shared the serpent's curse. From the dawn of creation, in the bowers of Eden, the Bible tells us that the devil came among God's creativity and tempted Eve to sin, and she did sin. And she gave that forbidden fruit unto her husband, and he did sin. And it was a result of that that God caused them to leave the beautiful garden. It was. And not only that, but God placed a curse on the devil himself. Notice what he said in the book of Genesis 3 and verse 15. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, that's Christ, it should bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3 and verse 15. And because man sinned, man is going to die. So the Bible teaches, Genesis chapter 3. But again, Christ is the resurrection and the life. You know, they must have been astounded, that is the Marys, when they got to the tomb because they were discussing about who's going to roll away that stone where we can go in to anoint the body of Christ. And when they got there, they discovered that the stone had already been rolled away and that the Christ had arisen from the dead. They were going to anoint the body because the way they embalmed bodies then was from the outside. The way we embalm bodies today is from inside the body. But they were ready to anoint the body of Jesus. And in the process of being there, the Bible says that Mary began to weep. And Jesus spake unto her and said, Why are you weeping? And she said, Because they have taken away my Lord. You see, that word resurrection comes from a Greek word in which the New Testament was actually written originally, and it means to stand again, to stand again. In the Old Testament, even Job would say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand again in the last day. And it was prophetic about his coming into the world, that he would stand on the earth. But when Christ comes again, he is not going to come back to this earth, not according to the Word of God. For we, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to tell you some things hurriedly this morning. Number one, there must be a death before you can have a resurrection. Now, that's what happened in the case of our Lord. He died. He experienced the death and the hell that we deserved. But he died for fallen man. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. And it is appointed for us to once die. You have an appointment with death, and this is the thing that is so important that we all need to grasp. You don't know when your appointment is. You know, we make appointments all the time with people, maybe with the doctor, maybe with the auto clinic. I mean, it could be any number of things that we do in terms of making an appointment. But you have an appointment with death, and only God knows when it's going to be. And when that appointed time comes, you will draw your last breath, your heart will beat for the last time, and you will be placed in a tomb or in a grave or your ashes sprinkled upon the ground to await the great resurrection morning when all men will come forth and stand before God. You know, in the Old Testament, especially the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the Bible tells us about certain people that lived, and it closes with all of those people by saying, and then he died. And then he died. You know, we read obituaries all the time. Now, we read them in the paper. We may read them from the funeral home. But they tell about a life that has been lived. What will they say about your life? In 1 Corinthians 15, for as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For again, as in Adam die, all are made alive in Christ. Think about it. Isn't it a wonderful thought? It is to me. I have no fear of death because I know where I'm going when I leave this world. I'm going to be with the God that I have served in preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Christ for over 60 years. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm thankful and grateful that God has given me that great opportunity. And I'm thankful to tell you this morning that he is preparing a better place for you and for me. For in John, the 14th chapter, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And the same is true when we become a Christian, when we become a child of God. And you know, this morning, I hope that you are a child of God. For the book of Romans chapter 6 says in verse 1 and following, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says an emphatic, God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, there's nothing like the life of a Christian. I know a lot of people look at that in different ways, and sometimes people say, well, I don't see anything real happy about being a Christian. I'm going to tell you, there is no greater joy, there is no greater happiness than when one becomes a child of God, his sins are washed away, and the blood of Christ continually cleanses him from his sin every day. That, my friend, is joy. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How wonderful to know that we're going to live with him. Therefore, we have been buried. That's what baptism is. Did you know it? Baptism is actually a burial in water and a resurrection out of that water. And when the Bible talks about the second resurrection, it's talking about being what? Raised from the dead. Our first resurrection is in the waters of baptism. And when we come up out of that baptism, we become a child of God, a Christian. And then the second resurrection will be the resurrection of the dead. And you and I will have newness of life. It will be a life that is so wonderful. Think about being in heaven. You ever thought about it, really? A lot of people never think about death and dying. They never really think about the resurrection, unless it's once a year. A lot of people never consider the fact that they too will die. It is an appointment for us. You and I will keep. Secondly, there must be faith and obedience before we can have a resurrection to life in heaven. You know, a lot of times your preachers get up and they talk about certain ones that die, and they would have you believe that everybody that dies is going to heaven. But that's just not true. That would be a wonderful thought. But a person who lives like hell or lives like the devil cannot hope to go to heaven when you die, folks. It just doesn't happen that way. But Jesus taught in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. For Christ said, the hour is coming in which all who are in their tombs or graves will hear his voice. One of these days when they place your body in the tomb or in the casket, in the grave, you will hear the voice of God. And you will rise by the power of our God. That's what he says. That we'll come forth under the resurrection of life or under the resurrection of damnation, one or the two. And those who do good will rise in the resurrection to life eternal in heaven. You see, that's why it's so important for us to become Christians. That's why it's so important for us not only to become a Christian, but to live as a Christian. If God's going to judge me by the way that I live, I want to make sure that my life is what God wants it to be. And I hope this morning that that's what you want. Don't let it be the resurrection to damnation and separation from God. The Bible says that this corruptible, that is the fleshly body that we have, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. We sing that old song. We're going to sing it today too, by the way. Victory in Jesus. And isn't that a wonderful thought? We know that death will occur and we will die. And that is reality. An immortal life is in heaven, going to be with God. And I can tell you for sure that death has been swallowed up in victory. Now, that's what Jesus taught. Listen to these words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. And it's a mystery, I understand it. And I show you this mystery, but we shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die. For when the Lord comes, those that are here in this life will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, listen, incorruptible. That means to die no more. And we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. You can't go to heaven without an immortal body. Did you know that? When Christ comes again, he's coming to give you a new body. Remember that old spiritual hymn we used to sing? I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. Well, that is so true. But thirdly, there must be an I am before you can have a resurrection. If Jesus had not lived, and if Jesus was not the Son of God, taking our loved ones to a cemetery to place within a tomb would be a dismal thing. But I'm thankful that when I officiate at a memorial service, I can say to those who are grieving, who have been left behind by the death of a loved one, there is yet hope. Hold on to God. And don't die out of Christ. Don't die out of him. You know, after Christ spoke unto Martha, he turns and says, do you believe this? Do you believe I'm the Son of God? In John 8 and 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come. Cannot have a resurrection without an I am. And notice that, not I was, or not I will be, but I am, I am. That's present tense. And he was the I am in the flesh. And then he says, I am in the resurrection. Can't get any clearer than that, folks. Without God, there is no resurrection to life eternal. in heaven. Oh, you'll all be raised. We will. Everyone, whether you want to be raised again or not, you will be raised. And that's what Jesus taught in John the 5th chapter. And there must be an I am before you can have the resurrection. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I want you to notice this passage, and don't walk out of here without forgetting this one. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have already died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Don't cry like those who have hope. You know what? Because when you have hope, there's no need to cry. You know where your loved one is. Paul said to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. That's where I'm going. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, and Paul clarifies it by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice where we're going to meet the Lord. Not here. Not on this earth, but in the clouds. He's coming. He is coming in the clouds, and we shall meet him there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul concludes by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes, I'm thankful that Jesus died and that he is resurrected. But I'm thankful today that because he was raised, I will be raised. This will not be the last you see of Dan Manuel. No. You might hope it is. But this isn't the last. You'll see me again, and I'll see you as a Christian. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He became the first fruits. And he ascended on high. So life is to be continued. It's not the end. When one becomes a Christian, it's a beginning. And I hope today you'll let this be your beginning, your new beginning. And live knowing that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes to the Father except through him. That's the hope we have. That's the hope I leave with you this morning. And if we can assist you in becoming a Christian, certainly there is no greater delight than to baptize someone into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and see them resurrected to that new life. And if you're here and you're perhaps a child of God, but you know your faith's not strong as it ought to be, I hope this morning you'd come to Christ. Allow him to change you while we stand and while we sing.